brings us back there. Paul's been talking here in Romans, and been talking to the saints there and admonishing them and explaining why, explain as well his confidence in them, but addressing, you know, God's call upon his life and what God did and what God accomplished. And I'll not go back over all of that, but I'm going to read from verse 14, and we left off in about 15 last time, or 16. Paul said, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace of God that is given to, but because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." So as Paul explains his understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, now Paul was assured that they were full of goodness and that they were filled with all knowledge, and of course none of that could have been on their own. The imputed goodness of Christ, the knowledge of being enlightened and their eyes opened by the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, you know, "I write boldly because I've been appointed to an office. I've been given a calling." And he said, "Because the grace of God that is given, or because the grace that is given to me of God." And we looked last week how Paul, how marveled at that, the grace that he received. And not only the grace in salvation, but the grace in ministry. And Paul goes on to expand upon this as we look and continue in verse 16. Paul says, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Paul speaks of the specifics of his call, the specifics of his office, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ. And what an amazing act of grace. He who persecuted the church, he who, as Christ said, "Why do you persecute me?" He who through his people persecuted Jesus Christ, that he should become the minister of Jesus Christ. That word minister there is one like we often use in a sense of representing a head of state. You know, being the public servant of a ranking official. You know, that I should be the minister of state of Jesus Christ. Now, there's no higher calling. There's no office that with more responsibility than to be the minister of Christ, the ambassador, the, if you will, the secretary of state for Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, and all by the grace of God. And Paul took this awesome responsibility very seriously. And we see as he wrote here in the book of Romans to the Gentiles, and as we look as God inspired and preserved his writings primarily to the Gentiles, and that have been passed on and preserved to us today. And the Romans should take his call very seriously as well. They ought to give heed to what he writes. For he writes certainly under the inspiration of the Spirit, and he writes as the called one of God. He writes as the minister of Jesus Christ. To the Gentiles. And what a calling it was. I think back when Ananias was told to go down and talk to Saul of Tarsus. And you know, the Lord said, "Ananias, I want you to go down and and talked to Saul of Tarsus. You remember when Ananias said, God, I don't think you remember who he is. You know, I don't think you quite remember who he is. And in Acts 9:15, and the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. That song I sang this morning. He's the potter. We're the clay. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So though Ananias had a hard time grasping it at first, Paul was a chosen vessel, chosen to be a minister of Jesus Christ unto the Gentiles. And then Paul again marvels. He says, ministering the gospel of God. What an awesome responsibility. And what a great privilege. Ministering there is a word that was usually used of working in the things that are sacred. Indicating, again, Paul didn't take this thing lightly. I mean, this was a very serious thing with Paul to minister the gospel of God. Most of us, I'm sure all of us are aware of the underlying word of euangelion. It speaks of the good tidings. Again, they're tidings. They're a proclamation. It's good news to those for whom it's intended. It's good news for the intended recipients. And amongst the Gentiles, those that were God's chosen, we remind ourselves that euangelion, it's tidings, it's news. It's like what the runner would bear. You know, he doesn't have his own message, and he's not making an offer, and it's not an advertisement. That's a proclamation. It's something that's already been accomplished. It's something that's done. He is a news bearer. You understand? The good news. It's not the good offer or the good deal. Something that's already been accomplished. Something that, as the Lord said, is finished. And as he bears this good news, it is good news to those for whom it's intended. That passage I often reflect upon, to me, it lays out these things perhaps clearer than any other in Scripture in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, where Paul says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Paul was called to manifest, to make known the savor of the knowledge of God in every place. He says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. In them that are saved, and in them that perish. For to the one we are a savor of death unto death, and the other a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Paul marvels at the ministering the gospel of God. Who's sufficient for these things, he says. But he understands his awesome responsibilities, he says in verse 17 back there in Corinthians. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. God is glorified by the proclamation of the gospel, and Paul's been sent to do that. And whether they hear or whether they forbear, he's glorified in them that are saved and in them that perish. And it's our responsibility, it's our privilege to proclaim God's truth. And none of us are responsible for the reaction it receives. Well, it can't be. Think of the Old Testament prophet that had a similar calling. Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 2 and verse 3. Ezekiel records, and he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. To minister the gospel of God. Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they hear or whether they forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there has been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks. Though they be a rebellious house, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they hear or whether they forbear, for they are rebellious, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious, like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat what I give thee. And Paul took this very seriously. And Paul took it as an awesome accountability and an awesome responsibility to minister the gospel of God. And God did have elect sheep amongst the Gentiles. And God would bring his own unto himself. And God would be glorified in those things. And we don't know what happens to what we cast out there. And I thought, as they published my letter this time to the editor, and it was a little bit different context, but again, Brother House saw that, and he remembered, he kept that, and Lord used that to bring him here. And I met that fella at the gun show last week, and he's got that letter up on the wall. You don't know where the seeds go that you throw out there, and what they're still perhaps going to bear fruit. And God has an elect amongst the Gentiles in spite of all that Paul underwent, and we know of his history and what he endured, humanly speaking. But it was that, as we see back here in verse 16, and back in Romans, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. God had a people amongst the Gentiles, and he would bring them to himself, and he had deigned to do that through the ministry of Paul and the Gentiles themselves. The Gentiles themselves would be an acceptable offering. But not through Paul's work, but through the completed work of Jesus Christ, being sanctified, as he says there, by the Holy Spirit. Earlier on here, Paul spoke to the saints in Romans 12, and he said, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As our bodies are to be living sacrifices, and the Gentiles in their conversion to Christ were living sacrifices unto God. Acceptable. Not because of what Paul did, but because of what the Holy Spirit did. Being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Human sacrifices are only acceptable to God when they've been made so by the Holy Spirit, when they've been sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That word sanctified literally means to be made holy. And the word holy, in its essence, speaks of being set apart, of being separated. we don't like that today's concept of the world, you know, and you talk about being separated, but that's exactly what that word holy means. It means to be separated, to be set apart. God is holy because He's completely separate. He's completely apart. He's completely different. And they've been sanctified. They've been set apart by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes that clean which is unclean. The Holy Spirit makes that pure which is impure. Acts 26, verse 17 says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto to whom now I send thee, speaking to Paul, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified, which are set apart by faith that is in me. Being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This setting apart, this sanctifying. And I see in Paul's ministry a reminder, you know, of that work. And Paul was sent as the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul is the Pharisee of the Pharisees. Paul, Jew of the Jews, if you will. The fulfillment of that evangelical calling of Israel, you know, that will be accomplished, you know, during previous to and during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. We see a lot of things happening on the, and again, I think we need to not confuse, you know, the present government of Israel with God's Israel, and or to confuse and to think that the Lord's on the throne there. But God's working, and He's going to come back, and He is going to rule and reign from a throne. And the people of Israel are going to fulfill their evangelical calling. So we find it back in Isaiah 66, verse 19. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow to Tubal and Tavan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard of my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. God had a people He always had a people. And God's going to complete His work in the way He said He was going, and we don't have to spiritualize it and say, well, the Jews means us. No, the Jews means the Jews. Israel means Israel. The Gentiles mean the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren. But you see, there's brethren amongst the Gentiles, and we thank the Lord for that. Isaiah knew that. He saw the fulfillment of these things. For an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts, to the holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord. As the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. Being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And so the Gentiles are offered up as a sacrifice. Being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. A clean vessel in the house of the Lord. These things are the work of God and not the work of man. But Paul was called to this ministry, and Paul takes it very seriously, and we have the privilege as well of proclaiming the truths of God. And we ought to take them seriously. And so then Paul continues in verse 17. He says, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. Paul says, I have therefore whereof I may glory. But he doesn't stop there. Paul, of all people, realized there's nothing to glory in the flesh. He says, I have, wherefore I may glory through Jesus Christ, and those things which pertain to God. Paul did not glory in himself. Paul did not glory in the things of the flesh, but he gloried in those things that pertain to God. And only those, and only that through Jesus Christ. And we can only rightly glory in those things that pertain to God through Jesus Christ. You know, it's not our own. It's not our own. It's all of Him. Again, He's the potter. We're just the clay. Our redemption, our sanctification, our being set apart, it's all of Him. Our calling. You know, Paul had this office, this marvelous office, and he's just almost overawed by it. He said, "Who's sufficient for these things?" The ministry he had obtained. It's all through Jesus Christ. It's all what pertains to God. And indeed, even the results of whatever we're allowed to do, whether it be as, you know, parents, grandparents, teachers, preachers, husbands, wives, whatever the results of those ministries that are given to us, it's all through Jesus Christ that pertains to God. And those saints, those Gentiles that are offered up through the ministry of Paul, they're sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And so Paul says, if I have anything to glory in, it's just what's been done. It's through Jesus Christ. And it's what pertains to God. It's all through Christ. It's all by Christ as our Lord and Savior. Over in 1 Corinthians 15, we know Paul says in verse 10, he says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Paul only glories in those things which properly belong to God. The preaching of the gospel message, the instructions that he's been making here to the saints, the admonitions that he's made to the saints, the worship that is offered up to God, the observances of the ordinances of the Lord's church. It's all which pertains to God. It's all to the glory of God, as we've said before, and as Paul set forth. You know, the chief end of man, all our actions, all our thoughts, is to glorify God. It's what pertains to God. All these other things, they're not so important. And I'll get started on this verse and have quite a bit more to say about that, because Paul talks about these things, the true humility of the saint. Paul says, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed." He said, "I won't dare speak of those things that Christ hath not wrought by me." You know, all of our accomplishments, and some folks, humanly speaking, have more than others, but all of our accomplishments, a part of those that are wrought by Christ, they're of no real or no lasting significance. Paul says those things are wrought, not wrought by me. They're wrought of Christ. Katagedzermai, it means to work fully, to cause or to perform. Those things that Christ did, he worked fully. He caused it. He performed it. And whatever Paul did, whatever Paul said, anything that was not completely wrought out by Christ, it was insignificant. And really, it's, I think, a condemnation. Our world today is so, you know, puffed out, and it's like just, you know, trash talk and all these other sort of things. You know, it's, that's not something that ought to be a part of the child of God's life. It's a condemnation of fleshly boasting. And too often we see that, you know, even in the ministry. Folks begin to think they've accomplished some things, and they hadn't accomplished nothing.
Yeah.
Proverbs 25:14 says, "Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain." And all the promise, all the puff, we've experienced that sometimes when it gets kind of dry around here and you look and say, oh man, it's going to rain, and just ain't nothing there. Big old cloud, big old puff. Anything that's not wrought by Christ is worthless. Philippians 3:8, Paul says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Well, Paul's pretty clear about that. He said that it's nothing but dung. All that, all those glories, except those things that are wrought by Christ. I thought on this, and I'll close with this thought. I modified this old saying a little bit. I don't know if I'm right or wrong in it, but I did. You know, we often hear, "One life 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last." And, I mean, there's certainly truth, great truth in that. But if we look at maybe a little bit deeper and a little bit more at the reality of things, is only one life 'twill soon be past, and only what's wrought by Christ will last. Not really, I mean, whatever we do for Christ has to be wrought for Him. But, you know, the essence of the thing is, you know, whatever I've done for Christ, no. Whatever was wrought by Christ will last. Whatever He did, whatever He is pleased to do through us and accomplish through us. And I think our emphasis, we ought to seek to keep our emphasis upon Christ, but upon Him alone, and what He's doing, not what we're doing. Because unless it is wrought by Christ, it's just dung. That's all it is. And it'll be shown for that soon enough. Let's take our hymnals and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Saved by Grace, 189.
Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now to sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King, and I shall see Him face to face, and tell the story shall see Him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. Someday my earthly house will fail, and I cannot sell rooms will be. But this I know by all in all, has now a place in heaven. And I shall see Him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see Him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. Someday when fades the golden sun beneath the rosy tint, my blessed Lord shall say, "Well done," and I shall enter in. shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. Someday till then I'll watch and wait, my lamp all trimmed and burning bright. But when my Savior opens the gate, my soul to him may take its flight. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace.
Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank thee for those things that were wrought in us by Christ. For Lord, we know of a truth. We not only could we not have turned unto thee or known thee on our own, Lord, we can do nothing of any lasting benefit on our own. And yet, Lord, you've deigned to use us. You've deigned to make us ministers. Lord, that each of us may minister the gospel of God. Father, I pray that you help us to be faithful in those things and to consider those things aright. And Lord, to realize that we depend wholly upon thee. Only those things, Lord, that are wrought by Christ, only those things that are through Christ and which pertain to God are of any real significance. And Lord, as we're about our daily business, may we keep those things in mind. Lord, I do thank you for each part of the saints that you've brought together here, for the encouragement and the strength that you allow us to draw from one another. Lord, I pray that you be with any of us that have family members that will be traveling to be with us, or we may be traveling to be with family members, that you just put your hand upon us this week. Pray, Lord, that you strengthen Brother Saying is he's having some respiratory issues. Lord, that you might be pleased to strengthen him, that he could spend time with his family this week as well. Father, thank you for that love that spanned in eternity. Thank you, Lord, for the atoning death of our Savior, for those things that were accomplished on our behalf, Lord, for those things that were accomplished in our very stead. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for this, your church, for all the bounty that you pour upon us daily. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.